Podcast. Welcome to another episode of Over Us. Today, we have a very, very special guest. This might get heated. This is like
my arch nemesis.
Yeah, we're gonna throw punches back and forth. I'm just gonna be kind of a moderator, maybe, and you guys are just gonna fucking go at it. No, I'm joking. We have Luca, very loved, around the entire real estate community. He, I guess, needs no introduction at this point. Luca from Actually Agents is on the program. Luca, thanks so much for being on the program here.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Luca, let's jump right into this, all right? Let's just go right into this. Are you actually an agent? Were you ever actually an agent? How'd you think of that name, Actually Agents? And let's kind of give us a background from the start. Why did you start Actually Agents? And yeah, we'll go from there.
Yeah, so I was actually an agent. I am still an agent. The page as it exists now was built off the skeleton of a failed dropshipping business. I was trying to drop ship golf products. Wasn't working. I had like 300 followers. And I really just was hating the actual real estate part of real estate. Because the coaches, the people on TV, they're telling you all this stuff. People are closing checks. And it just, I don't know. No one was giving me the real stuff. So I got really drunk at a cabin up in the woods once. And I said, let me just start making memes. The dropshipping stuff isn't working out. And the name Actually Agents actually came from AA. You know, it's like a joke in of itself. They're very low hanging fruit. Realtors love drinking. Alcoholics Anonymous, Actually Agents. And gained a lot of traction really quick. And yeah, here we are 3 years later.
Now, it's only been 3 years?
Only been 3 years. Maybe, yeah, 2019.
So did you switch up the content? Like, was your initial page like drop shipping content? And then out of nowhere, it just switched to real estate memes?
Well, it was I had bought some dude's drop shipping course and he said, you need to make a niche page. So I was selling golf stuff. And at the time, Instagram was very photo heavy, you know, instead of trying to rip off of TikTok. I was just posting like copyright free, high quality images of golf courses and trying to build an audience so that I could sell them chipping nets. And I looked over to the right here because I still have one of my product samples from Guangzhou, China, sitting that never sold.
Wow.
Yeah, the drop shipping hustle was a classic, you know, searchable YouTube thing like in 2017, 18, where anybody who wanted to make money on the internet, they'd check out like drop shipping basically. So I got to ask this though. Did you know that the broke agent existed when you started Actually Agents? Or did you find out and be like, oh, fuck, this kind of exists already? Dude, I got to know the backstory on this.
I was growing so quickly. I'm like, I'm a fucking genius. Why has nobody thought of doing this? And then when I hit like 5,000 followers or something, somebody tagged us both in a story. And I'm like, the broke agent, who's this? And you had like a 130,000 followers. And I realized I was a very small fish in a small pond, but there were bigger fish around.
It was a pond of just us.
It was a pond of just
a very small pond. Has it been like annoying, or like was it annoying at the beginning just knowing that people would start like comparing us, or that you had to kind of like differentiate yourself, which you've done a fantastic job at with the Actually Agents brand? But I got to assume at the beginning it was kind of like, oh fuck, like, you know, this person's doing this meme, they're tagging us in the same thing. Like, how was it on your end from that perspective?
Yeah, I never really cared, but also I'm the lower rung on the totem pole. So when people tagged us together, I was being brought up. Whereas from your perspective, it was kind of like you were being brought down. Maybe. I don't know.
Not like I was being brought down, but it was cool to see it happen because there was some other meme pages that like popped up at the beginning. There was like Laughing Realtor. There was Realtor Laughs, like a few, and they would basically like go hard for a couple months and then out of nowhere, they would just stop. And you were like consistently putting out content. And I always thought, I was like, there's no way in hell anyone else is going to post real estate memes and jokes on a daily basis for years, and you've done a fantastic job at that. So
thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Every time I was supposed to be cold calling or doing something, I was living on Instagram just making content and procrastinating. So
it's so crazy what's happened. In how long have you been doing Broke Agent, Eric? 7 years?
Yeah.
6 years?
7 years.
7 years. And I started doing my content, I guess, like 2019 as well. But Luca, you were already at like probably 15K by the time I started doing content, maybe 20K. And when I was starting content, I could not, like, for the life of me, find other like funny real estate videos or something. Like, and now literally every other post, if you follow realtors, is like some sort of humor-based video. It's crazy how much has changed in like really since 2019. Like, yeah, it's literally like a total different. And I think, I mean, you both definitely have something to do with it, but I think like there's some core creators who really have changed the way people create real estate content, which is, it's pretty crazy to see.
Yeah. Well, the industry is always 3 years behind the curve, or in your case, Eric, 6 years behind the curve, you know, and once one of them starts picking it up, like, you guys have some big coaches in your ecosystem. You know, I know Byron does some coaching, but you're in really tight with Tom Ferry, and there's 2 million real estate agents in the United States, maybe a couple hundred thousand more if you include Canada. So it's really a small community, and the information just disseminates out there. And you have these big thought leaders who are kind of running up against a wall. If you look at their engagement, you know, it's not getting the views, it's not getting the posts. Meanwhile, you post a meme, Eric, and you can have 500, 600,000 views on it like that. And people take notice.
Yeah, it did take a while. In 2015 and 16, when I first started posting these, a lot of realtors were reluctant to even share anything. Like, there wasn't anyone doing humor-based content, like Lighter Side was, but from like an agent perspective, no one would touch that. It was all the motivational quotes, the you know, kind of workout, grind life type of thing, like all luxury realtors. And then it finally clicked that they could start doing funny content.
Yeah. Hey, quick question. My AC just
I just
on.
Heard
can
that.
You,
yeah, that? Sounds like a helicopter.
Oh my god! Hold on.
We interrupt this program.
Luca's out on the East Coast, by the way, so we feel his pain. It's probably 100 degrees in his room.
Yeah, hold on. I got an air raid siren too that I can kick off. Sorry about that.
No, all good. So was the page, was Actually Agents ever to grow your real estate business, or was it just like a kind of a creative outlet that you didn't have before?
It was a way to vent, really, you know, and up until I hit 50,000, it was completely anonymous. So everything was on the table. And I thought if I told people who I was, that, you know, now I'm liable for the things that I'm saying, and it would cast negatively upon me, which wasn't the case.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes some of the things you post are like they're questionable. They're like really on that line. So I would understand being like anonymous. No one knows who you are, and then now when you show face, I guess you kind of have. And Eric has talked about that too. As he grows and as you both grow, you have to almost. You reach a wider audience. So obviously you can't almost get away with as much or be as edgy in a way, because you have more eyeballs and more people to complain and report, or I don't know. Do you feel that at all?
Not really, but only because of how I'm monetizing. So I would be actually perfectly fine if I just stayed at the level I was at and could keep extracting deal flow and lead gen accounts from my following. Whereas, and not to speak for you, you can comment on this, Eric, you guys wanting to become a media company, it's all about ads and eyeballs, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm fine. I call it weeding out the chaff, right? Just get them out of there. I don't care if it makes people upset. You know, I'll post something and lose 200 followers. It makes no difference.
Yeah, I think from our perspective, from like broke agent media, we have to be a little bit more palatable, you know, like you said, to get those eyeballs and retain as many realtors as possible. But, you know, we still post edgy content and do stuff that constantly pushes the line. But I feel like I kind of know in my gut when there's something that I don't feel comfortable with posting. Is that kind of what you feel as well? Or do you like base off the comments, or you just fire it out there?
Facebook is my barometer. Because yeah. Everything I post, if it's a static image, it gets cross-posted to Facebook. And those people are no fun. Man.
Savages.
No fun. Right. They just do not get any of the edgy humor.
And they don't have any sense of satire. It's insane. No.
Well, it's an older audience. Like yeah. The people that are still in Facebook groups, not all of them, of course, but the people that are like browsing Facebook to consume content and get in battles, those are your 50, 60, 70-year-old agents. So yeah. They're not familiar with like the meme style or anything like that. They see that and they want to fight in the comments. On Instagram, you get way less pushback for that.
Yeah, Instagram, and mostly because of the ecosystem that people find themselves in too. If you follow a meme page, I'm probably not the only meme page that you follow. And most other meme pages are very irreverent with their content. You know, people get that it's a joke. Whereas on Facebook, it's almost like people get stuck in these vertical bubbles of the content that they consume. And Mary, who's 56 from Keller Williams too progressive, bro. Mary, who's 56 from Remax, you know, she's just not going to get it. Because no. A joke about OnlyFans is appearing on her feed in between cooking recipes and how to crochet a quilt.
Right.
Yeah, there's definitely like, I sometimes lean into it. I did this post where I like made a fake poster. Have you ever seen those signs where they like stick them in the lawn on a busy street and say like, slow down, children at play or whatever? I did one. I was like, hey guys, can you like look at my sign, see if it's okay? I just said like, slow down, you fucking assholes, children are playing here. And they're like, I'd be more concerned about the language than people speeding. I was like, fuck, man, like this is not. So sometimes I'll just lean into it now because it's funny to like, I don't know. It's just like funny to see. They're almost like too professional. They have to like keep their professionalism on the Facebook page too. It's super odd.
Well, yeah, and it's. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that the way it works is when you're commenting on something, like people see that in their feed too. So it's different than Instagram when you have to go into the comments and actually see it. So they almost feel like they have to defend a position if something comes across their feed, because then they know like, oh, all my peers are going to see me like fighting this battle.
Yeah. But it's so fucking self-righteous, man. Like people go into the comments, and Matt, I'm sure you get this, is like, oh, this is unprofessional. This is sexist. This puts a bad name on realtors. And I'm like, look around. You're not getting business from these comments. Like, there's nobody to impress here. Like, why are you being so self-righteous about it?
Yeah, it's weird. It's super odd. I think people, for the most part, I guess the outside people, for me at least, they just don't get it. So sometimes they'll comment. But for the most part, people kind of know what I'm doing now, and they understand I'm being funny and sarcastic, and I'm not being serious about half the shit I say. But if it's just like some random person who has like little sense of humor, it's definitely catches them off guard. So every couple like days or weeks, you'll get a couple comments where people are like very upset at you for no reason. How did your family take it, Luca? Because I know you come from a family of realtors, correct?
Yeah.
Century 21, was it?
It was Berkshire Hathaway when I left. Yeah.
Okay. So how did they take you starting the meme page? Because it seems like they were a little old school.
They don't get it, man.
Not at all.
I'm still and they really don't. I mean, my father is very supportive. He's not a social media guy on any means. He's just supportive. My grandfather, who was the one who got me into the business, absolutely hates it. He's tried to listen to our events and attend a mastermind or look.
He hates it?
Hates it, bro. Because he is the quintessential boomer. You should not be cursing. But even though he'll curse like a sailor, but in public, you do not curse. He's also German, so they're not really renowned for their sense of humor.
Right.
But yeah, they just don't get it. They don't get the, they don't understand that, like, I can stay at home pretty much 7 days a week and still be working. Like, they just don't understand.
Yeah. Like, if old school mentality.
Like, right now, I might as well be playing Call of Duty on my computer.
Right.
Like, there's no way that this is pushing the needle forward.
Your Thanksgivings for the last 3 years must be pretty awkward.
Nightmarish. But once he started seeing the checks and stuff, then he's just kind of lets me do my own thing.
Right.
And we want to get into like the monetization and like the evolution of the brand. But, you know, doing this on my side too, I got to ask you, do you wake up knowing what you're going to post every single day? How are you getting your content? Are you just pulling stuff out of your ass? Because that's basically how I do it at this point and how I've been doing it for 7 years. So I always wondered what it's like on your end.
Dude, I've slacked. Sometimes there's days I don't post now. Yeah. And I'm finding that the algorithm rewards it because the next one gets juiced or my last one gets more shares or more follows. It's really just as it comes or as people send it to me, I post it. Quite honestly, I'm in a content lull right now. I'm trying a couple different new formats. But how many, you said this to me once, Eric, when we first spoke. You're like, how many times can you make the same joke about a fucking open house with nobody attending? Like, how many, and what blows my fucking mind is they still perform well. And yeah. I get no satisfaction from these rote, like, overdone, reused memes and jokes. I get no satisfaction. I feel like I didn't push anything.
Right.
Which is probably why the edginess comes out, because I love stirring the pot, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally feel that. I feel the exact same way being in a content lull. Matt and I just had an episode on this exact thing. But for me, doing blogs and podcasts and different shows and stuff, now that's like my creative outlet. And the Broke Agent, posting through that is basically just continuing to grow the brand so I could push the other content now. Because this is not fulfilling anymore unless I am creating content like as myself, which you do occasionally as well. I think, you know, you show yourself and like do reels, but like that's now what basically every content creator has to do. So it's kind of killing our entire, you know, meme industry basically, which sucks. Like, do you even see memes surviving at least on Instagram in the next couple of years?
No, not static memes like we've been doing. They're all going to go to reels. It's all going to be video. I have a buddy of mine who works with me at the NFT project, Pudgy Penguins. He sold all his meme pages. He had about 55 million followers worth of meme pages. Jesus. And he just, the moment those OnlyFans sponsored ads were the only people buying ads on meme pages, he sold it all. Because he knows that the images are going the way of the dodo on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you used to post a lot of video, Luca. You had like a pretty good run of video you were doing probably weekly
for
Actually Agents, like, and on your personal page for a bit, like
when Reels first came out. Yeah. And we knew that post a reel you're getting the juice. I just repurposed all my old video content. That's one of the things that that people don't realize is if you for 3 years I put out sometimes 2-3 unique pieces of content every day. That's 900, 1800 pieces of content. Like, I'm good, man. If I'm ever like really in a lull, you just go back, repurpose, put a new caption on. You talk about this all the time, Eric. And it feels kind of unfulfilling, but 90% of people haven't seen it that follow you,
because it's Instagram, a revolving door. Yeah. Like, And that's how it should be. Like, I reposted one of my Eminem video not too long ago, and it was like, it didn't perform as well as the first time, but like, it performed well, and I had like hundreds of comments of people who had never seen it before. Because the first, when I posted it, I was probably at like 15,000 followers, and now I'm almost at 50. So it's like, all those people don't always go back and watch all your content or look at all your content.
And no one even saw it in the first place too. It's like less than 10% or something that of your followers that even see it.
Yeah.
So that's totally the move, is reposting old content.
Yeah.
What about your other pages? So you have Actually Stonks,
right? Actually Stonks, I'm shutting down.
Okay. Is the goal to grow the Actually brand to other industries, or were those kind of to grow each other? Or what was the thought process behind that?
No, I was just really degenning into stocks, and it like made sense. Why not just meme about my life? I don't know. I got absolutely burned on GameStop, lost like 50 grand. And, I was like, well, fuck the stock market. I'm just going to go play around in crypto. And then I ended up in the NFT space. And that's where all those degenerate tendencies filter into now.
I had a crypto meme page in 2017 called Crypto Dick that I grew to like 5,000 followers. And I'd basically take all of the real estate memes that I was doing in videos and just repurpose those to crypto. And I worked at a crypto called Alpha Token for like 6 months and wrote like a digital manifesto and did all the shit there, and then got burned twice in that market too. So
I hate to break it to you, bro, but if you had continued growing in the crypto vertical, last summer when the NFT boom was kicking off, these fucking Instagram pages were getting 30 grand a post.
Yeah.
In the crypto vertical.
Yeah, but then you're just scamming a bunch of
posts.
Yeah, but then you're just scamming a bunch of people for pay to play, like NFT projects and stuff. So,
I mean, money. Yeah. All right. Now I feel. Yeah, you say that. All right. Shots fired, Eric. Money's money, bro. 30 grand a post.
Yeah.
So long as you put ad on it.
Running this is enough. I don't think Crypto Dick was my calling at all.
Crypto Dick.
Yeah.
You still have the username?
No, I switched it to Vape Capes, actually, because then I wanted to sell Jewel Pod or Jewel Wraps. I had one called Dennis Podman. It was like Dennis Rodman with his hair. I had Rudy Giuliani, and it was like smoke coming out of his ears. What? And then Facebook had an advertisement ban on all nicotine products. So I was I'm not.
Oh, yeah. I saw that episode of something about the vapes. They like were fucking up people's lungs. Or killing people, or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those both sound terrible. I'm glad you shut them down.
Yeah, exactly. Vape capes was something I should not have, paid any sort of attention or time into, but I certainly probably spent about 4 weeks of my life, hiring someone on Fiverr and getting the graphic design for the Dennis Podman one, which was not ideal.
I call my staging company Nicholas Stage. So
that's funny.
That's pretty good, I'm pretty good. But, I usually just hire out another stager, so I can't really use the name. But someone, I wish she would change her name to Nicholas Stage, because it'd be fucking fantastic.
Yeah, that's good.
So, Luca, how are you monetizing this? Are you getting anything? We just had Jared Benson on.
Have Jared Benson, him? New up and comer.
5K a month up and comer. On Reels.
He's so fucking, he's every time I look, he's got 15,000 followers more every hour.
Yeah.
The guy's a machine. He's making, he said, sometimes 5K a month from Reels alone. Are you making anything from Instagram directly, or are you just kind of branching out and to the Discord and stuff like that?
Actually, Agents has actually been paid by Instagram. I made $1.75. Someone bought a badge on one of my lives. Yeah, sick. Not the brag.
Congrats.
But I haven't unlocked the monetization because my page is a business page. Because I use the chatbot to data collect. And that's like such a valuable part of my business. And I'm not going to hit, they want 35 million views to hit like their top earning potential for the, what do they call them? Bonuses or whatever.
That's what Jared's hitting. He said he's hitting like 40 million views a month because
I think he said if he hits 40 million.
Okay.
If he hits, that's what they dangle it in front of you. My buddy Evan, who runs History and Memes, he hits the top tier every single month.
And it's like 5K?
35,000 every month.
Oh my God. And
he is 6 months.
Is he showing himself or is he doing
No, like, dude, he just reposts content.
Oh, that's incredible.
He's got a brilliant format. Brilliant format. Dude, he's grown. When we first met, he was under 300,000. Now he's at like 1.3 million. And he does. Evan, you're not going to be listening to this, but I'm sorry to spill the beans. He doesn't make any of his own content, man. He literally just aggregates it from across the web, finds, and real estate agents could do this too. I stole his content format. You find a video, so he does history stuff, so he finds interesting historical videos, makes a tweet, you know, the development of the first suburban homes in America, and 500,000 views. And he just does four of those a day.
Jesus. So this, I mean, is this like his only job at this point? I mean, I guess that's all you have to do.
Okay, so we should. So I should start a history page. What am I doing in real estate? I just start a history page, make 35K a month.
No, Matt, I bet your the amount that you post will go up exponentially when you get that badge. Instead of doing like one a week or two a week, you're going to be doing like 15 a day. You know how great that income would be to just have 4 or 5K a month just coming in from posting meme reels and stuff? That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
He comes from old Instagram meme royalty, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, like the fuck Jerry fat Jewish days. Cardigan. Yeah.
Andy Hines. You ever heard of Andy Hines?
No.
He's the guy Heck Off Supreme. He's the one who started the Slim Jim meme page as a joke and then segued it into what Slim Jim is today. So he was in that whole network of memers.
Got it.
So
how are you monetizing right now? And kind of what's the future of the Actually Agents brand like?
Yeah. So right now, our biggest monetization method is we provide leads for top producing teams and brokerages. We have about 81 accounts now. That's pretty much carrying the majority of the load. I have another smaller affiliate deal. And then I still do deals myself as an agent, mostly commercial. All sourced through the page and through the Discord. So that's why I want to keep the Discord growing, keep it active, because those people, they post off market deals. I snipe the ones that work for the people I know and then connect them. People call it bird dogging, but you know, get a sick finder's fee.
So are you making any money off EXP recruiting?
I have two people under me, I think. They just put my name on. And actually, one of them was a guy from the Discord who's been in there about 6 months, just hanging out in the Discord, went and got his license, and then decided he wanted to join EXP under me. So I had to have like a little pause and a step back because I don't actively recruit. And the whole reason I don't actively recruit is I don't want to fail people, right? I don't want to sell someone on EXP and you're a new agent. And I personally don't feel that EXP in all circumstances is good for new agents, right? I feel that in my bones. I think you go to the unofficial training wing of the whole industry, which is Keller Williams. You join a team, you stay there for 2 or 3 years, understand how the business operates. And then you jump ship to EXP because it just makes sense.
Keller Williams to Real pipeline is what I'm calling it now. Keller Williams to EXP to Real.
See that EXP that we will
migration.
We'll soundbite that for you so you can use Luca's audio any way you wish for EXP to really promote the brand.
But when
please
when you,
don't
when,
soundbite.
And I noticed you never post about EXP or anything like that. But when you got recruited by them or pitched on them, was that kind of like in your back pocket thinking, okay, I have a massive audience. I could probably recruit a bunch of people to it. Or was that just Like, what was the thought behind that move?
I'd be lying if I said that that wasn't a motivating factor. Right. Like, okay, it just makes nothing but sense. And now here we are a year and a half later, and now people are just using my name when they sign up to EXP because they interact with me on the Discord or attend the masterminds every single week. So that's working. But more for me is I needed a brokerage that was licensed at the national level to protect, you know, referrals and the deals I'm doing, because I live in New York. Most of the deals I'm sourcing are down south, right? And EXP is just great in that there's no offices. I was at a Berkshire Hathaway. Berkshire Hathaway is national, but my Berkshire Hathaway only had 4 offices in North Jersey. You don't know how the Berkshire Hathaways in Florida operate. So,
yeah. So you mentioned your Discord. I want to get into that because you have a massive community on Discord. How many agents now?
Agents verified. I don't have exact stats, but we
or just had, how many people?
Oh, 6,500.
Got it. So that's huge. So I'd say 95% of the people listening to this don't know what Discord is. So can you tell the people what it is, and then we could kind of go into how you built it and why you're building it?
Yes. So Discord is a combination of old school AIM chat rooms with Clubhouse and a Facebook group all mashed together. So our Discord is primarily focused on real estate. And yeah, we have a bunch of different chat channels. So you join the Discord. We have channels just for real estate agents. We have channels just for lenders. We have off-market commercial channels. We have a channel just for referrals where people can post, hey, I need an agent in Cleveland, Ohio. Anybody here? And what's great about it is I have a dev in my back pocket, this young kid who's also at EXP, not under me, but I got over it. And he's just an absolute genius. So he's coded all these automations for us. So we have a whole system in place where you go into the Discord, you type New York, you get a special identifying tag on your account that says New York. And then when somebody says, hey, I need an agent in New York, one of our staff comes along and says, hey, we need an agent in New York. And we can just push notifications to everybody just in that state. So we're kind of just working constantly to improve people's experience on it.
Got it. And growing this thing, has it been tough? Has there been like a barrier to entry for agents because most of us are, you know, 50, 60 years old, or did it kind of take off quickly just because it was so unique that someone was building something like this?
It took off very slow. The only reason I started it is because I wanted a place where I could watch the GameStop chart with a whole bunch of people from my community, and Discord has chat channels and screen sharing. So it just made sense. So for 3 days, I had maybe 50 people just screaming like monkeys watching the GameStop chart.
And right.
It went the way it did. And I didn't do anything with the Discord for half a year. And there were like 200 people in there. And the kid I talked about, who was the dev, he's constantly messaging me on Discord. He's like, you need to do something. This could be something. You need to do live events, blah, blah, blah. And I was just ignoring it because I was so down in the dumps losing all that money on GameStop. I didn't even want to go near it. And then I started getting into NFTs, and all these NFT projects organize their communities in Discord. And I'm seeing how these, you know, these project leaders are clearing like $3-4 million, and it's all because they're organizing their communities in Discords with clever automations. And I was like, shit, I have a Discord. Let's do that. But without also the whole NFT component.
Right. It's also a great way to source content and talk to your community, right? Like, you know, Matt and I talk to our community and Broke Agent Media people in DMs, emails, whatever, but a Discord's kind of a more intimate platform to do that. Like, you start to recognize these people, and as you're hosting these masterminds and events, you become way more close with the people that follow you. So I think that that really, you know, makes a brand powerful doing something like that. So communities are like, it's kind of like a Web3 type of thing, right? Or like a new way of thinking almost for brands to go and try to build communities on top of just their followings where they're just publishing content to them. Yeah. So I think that's kind of, you know, the future of a lot of this is building community and not just followings.
Totally. I totally agree with that. If you build it, they will come. And that saying, you probably know that saying, Eric.
Yeah, Field of Dreams, favorite movie.
Favorite movie.
Of course.
But it's so true. I mean, even back in the day, what like so many realtors around me have like city or neighborhood specific Facebook pages with literally like 15 to 20,000 people who live in that neighborhood. Like, it's just so genius. And like, you're the one who starts the page, you're giving the advice, and people trust you. And you earn people's trust, and it's really is just a community, and it just made you're the first person they think of for whatever you're building the community for. So
look what Tristan's done with Lab Coat Agents.
Yeah.
And exactly. You know, his co-founders, they have 150,000 people in that community. And you know, now he's doing coaching, has a massive YouTube channel, they have all these affiliates. Like, he's built an entire brand and monetization system around a community of agents who are basically just arguing all day about what CRM they want and just talking shit to each other. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the community building is a big aspect. We started a Discord, I don't know, like a year ago, and it's hard to maintain at the beginning. And I remember talking to you, Luca, and you said at the beginning, you're going to have to be the person who creates it, that's like driving the conversation. And then we started Broke Agent Media, and I was like, I can't manage this right now also, but I definitely want to get back into it because
I don't
it's a great. Yeah, I remember trying to get you on. I was like, dude, I need you in there, like commenting and stuff. And you're like,
I couldn't even find the fucking comment page. Like, it's so hard for me. Like, I don't know.
And you're young too.
I know. Exactly.
That's the barrier to entry, right?
And I'm pretty savvy too. So, like, the fact that there's just like 7,000, it's like MySpace meets Facebook meets Ebombs World meets fucking MSN. Yeah, like, it's like crazy. Luca, do you know what MSN is?
Mainstream News.
You guys, the messenger. What did you use? Simpatico?
AIM Messenger.
You used AIM and then iChat.
I used AIM always.
You guys don't know what MSN is?
No. Maybe it's got to be a Canadian thing.
No. Folks, if you've made it this far in the episode, let me know if you know what MSN is. Okay, just say
comment
I know what
MSN
it is.
MSN screen name.
Yeah, tell us your screen name. Mine was, my first one was in grade 6. It was 2_cool_4 the number _ you the letter.
Too cool for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
My AIM name was Roses at the Grave. I listened to a lot of My Chemical Romance. Yeah, there
it is. That's emo as shit. Eric, what was yours? Was it like a Nelly lyric or something?
No, it was D-backs 33. I was an Arizona Diamondbacks fan growing up. Arizona.
Okay. Sports. Ball lover 42. Yeah.
Luca, let me ask you one more thing about just growing up, because Eric seems to have grown up very different. He was on the water polo team in Arizona.
Golf.
Probably lived in a gated community or something like that. Because no one had wax on the curbs from the skateboarders. Did you have that in your area? Skateboarding kids have wax on the curbs to you know, lubricate the curb, to grind on it. Do you have that in your community?
Bro, my community grows 1/5 of the United States onions. We don't even have sidewalks.
Right. Okay. So you're in like farmland. You're in farm. Yeah, remember Farmville? Yeah. You're in there.
Yeah, we have a skate park, and I wore skater shoes as a kid, but I never.
So you wore skater shoes and listened to My Chem.
Yeah.
And now you've brought the hair back in your 20s.
I brought it back, man. The COVID cut. I just gave up. I was like, let's just grow it out and see how it goes. And
all right, we're back. So Eric, you should have.
Yeah, back to grinding on lubricated bars. Did you guys ever have soaps? Do you remember soaps, the shoes that had the little grind thing like in the middle of the heel where you could just grind on like the sidewalk or like a staircase or something?
Yeah. Do you guys remember Crazy Bones?
You guys remember yo-yos?
Eric's actually Eric's incredible at yo-yoing.
Are you really?
It's like a little, it's shocking. He can do the walk the dog and the the triangle
one.
Yeah,
that's Child's Play stuff, though. That's beginners.
Yeah, well, I couldn't do that. But it just seemed, Luca, I'm talking to you about this because Eric doesn't remember anything. So I'm trying to just,
what are you talking about?
You just don't remember, or you say, oh,
dude, I remember.
Canadian
I mean,
thing.
No. We lived completely different lives. I remember every aspect of my childhood.
I know you remember it, but I'm saying, like, do you know, Luca, do you know what Crazy Bones are?
Sounds like a Canadian thing.
Yeah.
This is
sounds
insane.
Like a Canadian
you
thing.
Fucking
I've
meme pages with your fucking. You one grew up in a farm, one grew up in fucking Laguna Beach or wherever
he
grew up.
Matt, do you realize I grew up in Tucson, Arizona?
Yeah, isn't that like a gated community?
Tucson, Arizona is
like there's gated community.
They call it the armpit of America.
What?
It's literally a desert.
Yeah, but it's nice there.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, it is nice.
I mean, no, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's nice if you're a lizard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Well, then maybe it is just Canadian things. One more, Luca, before we let you go. Have you heard the song Graduation by Vitamin C? As we go on, we remit. Okay.
Is that what you're going to play me off to?
Yeah. Yeah, Eric, you hadn't heard that song, you said.
No, I just didn't recognize who sang it. But when you sang it, I remember the song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I run by a lot of, to make sure my content is hitting worldwide.
Right.
I run a lot by Eric, Luca, because obviously we don't all have the same shit. So if I make a joke on MSN, half my followers or more than half my followers aren't going to understand it.
Yeah, it's a smart move. I think I got a good idea of the pulse of what the majority of people are thinking and understand. Because if you make a reference that's too specific, the joke's not going to hit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I'm going for that global, you know, a lot of realtors, which is nice, niche down to their neighborhood and stuff like that. But like, I don't give a fuck about like the neighborhood bakery down the street, you know, like what kind of views is that going to get?
Yeah. That's actually, I got to ask about that, Matt, because you're the outlier in the room in that you use your Instagram page to generate business for your real estate business. Right?
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
So is a lot of that referrals coming in or it's referrals?
It's referrals. Now it's been a lot of referrals from agents, which I didn't even think of in when I was starting to do it. I was literally just doing it as a joke. So that has started, but now it's like the podcast has helped because we have some like huge guests on. So like I just sold like a $1.3 million house from an episode we did with Maya Vander from Selling Sunset. And it was as simple as like, oh my God, you know Maya Vander?
Wow.
And then they want me to sell their house. So like, it's just cool. And then as people know me and like start seeing the content, it's definitely not for everybody, but they like the fact, or so I've been told by these people who reach out to me, like, I just don't seem stuffy and I seem approachable, even though it's kind of weird because a lot of my content is me like complaining about things, but they say I'm just like approachable, not an asshole, and just like easy to work with. They don't feel like they have to like put on an act or anything or they don't feel like I'm going to be like trying to sell them every second.
They also know you have an audience of now 50,000 people that could see your videos and, you know, the way you promote their listings and stuff and stories and skits.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Like helps. That's, I use those insights in my listing appointments now, like all the time. So because it's just,
I did that when I had overlap between actually selling houses. I said I had a personal referral network of over 15,000 real estate agents. And they had no idea what kind of content I was pushing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
But you gotta
you were just making fun of them the entire time.
Yeah.
Really just shitting on the clients.
Yeah, but you gotta like everyone is gonna be like you go into the appointment and everyone says the same shit in their own spin. Like they're gonna stage and they're gonna do professional photography and they're number one because everyone's somehow number one in some way that they spin it, right? Like, so what's that thing that's gonna set you apart from everyone else? For me, it's the Instagram. When I go into a listing appointment, 9 times out of 10 in my area, I'm gonna have the most followers. So I can say I'm gonna do everything everyone else is gonna do, but I'm also as soon as I leave, I'm gonna take a picture of your house and promote it to 50,000 people where I get 100 to 300,000 views a time. That's just something.
All roses now, but 3 weeks ago, your Instagram was gone temporarily.
Right.
That was.
Yeah. Were you freaking out?
Yeah, I was freaking out, but at the same time, I realized that I've built the brand off my name.
Yeah.
So during that time, like I booked a listing appointment. During that time, I booked two speaking engagements because my name has been circulated around enough. So I was freaking out, but I was also like up for the task to start again.
Because you were. You like turned a page like on week two, I remember, and you were calling me with all these other ideas, like excited to start growing your TikTok and that new YouTube idea you had about the show.
Yeah.
And you were still pumped to create other. Yeah. And you were super pumped and motivated to create like other content. So I think it was a good reset and a good like, you know, reminder that got to grow everywhere.
Did you reapply for verification?
I just did. I didn't get it, but I didn't. I've actually heard, I know Eric, you heard that verification, it doesn't work at all, but it does. Cause I know some people who got it through that. What I have to do is I have to write in like, cause you can actually write something in the section now and I can show my articles and stuff. And then I can write that like my page, like a month ago was mistakenly or wrongfully suspended. And that gives you a better chance. So I can reapply in August. So I'll try that again. It's a long shot, but I still have like five or six pages out there.
Yeah, when I go to tag you, there's at least five that pop up every time. It's crazy. Yeah. Yours pops up like as the fourth or fifth one too.
But they're not blocking me anymore. So it's making it easier. So I block them. And then you can also block pages they're associated with or if they start a new page. So they can't really do those mass reporting things on me because I'm blocking them first. Because I'm checking every single day. Because a lot of them don't even have either they're private or they don't have any.
Just getting into the weeds of this.
Just Matt's typing his own. Wakes up in the morning, he types his name into Google, the Instagram search bar.
It's part of the routine. Right? It's part of the routine. You know, I mean, I have to do it because I don't want that to happen again. It's insane. So, but what's happening now is they don't actually have either they're private or they haven't posted anything. Because I've been having success doing the copyright infringement forms where I'm posting that they're posting my shit and they're actually taking the pages down within a day or two, but now they're popping back up either private or not posting anything, so I can't do that.
Was the whole scam just to blackmail you or were they trying to push some crypto stuff?
Yeah, I just got
up with the crypto bots on Instagram.
So annoying.
I'm blocking all of the hashtags. So you could go into your settings and then you could block certain keywords and stuff. So anytime like a name pops up, like today there was one that was like Joyce Redbar or something like that. And every comment was about like you gotta follow Joyce Redbar, like the tips from Joyce Redbar. So I blocked those comments immediately. But
yeah, fuck Joyce Redbar.
If you can dream it, you can believe it.
Exactly. It sucks because it makes people not want to comment because they just see a bunch of bots and then they just comment on the fact that a bunch of bots are commenting.
Oh, you have a comment in your bot section.
Yeah. It's like there's nothing I could do about it.
And TikTok is riddled with it as well.
Yeah.
When I made the video about my Instagram being suspended on TikTok, I had 200 comments from bots.
Yeah.
Saying you have to go to fucking FX Trader 10X, you know, whatever. Yeah.
You know, the problem is it's if you use hashtags, that's what happens. They target hashtags.
I only use three now.
Yeah, I don't even use them.
I don't use.
And they're shit.
Yeah.
They're just to be funny. I do hashtag 10X, hashtag Grant Cardone, and like hashtag 10Xing or something. Like they're just, they're not for anything else.
The big ones might actually hurt you sometimes. Like if you use too big of a hashtag or you use a hashtag that isn't even affiliated with your post, then you might get, you know, promoted to an audience that wouldn't actually be interested in your content. So sometimes it's best to just not even use them.
They straight up came out and said that hashtags aren't for growing your page.
They don't. Yeah.
They literally said that.
But they help with searchability, and Instagram's getting more like SEO specific, where users are now like using Instagram search bar a lot more and TikTok search bar and stuff. So like in your captions and stuff, if you start using more like keywords and phrases, that could help your discoverability.
Actually, all right.
Every time you say actually, I think you're going to say actually.
Yeah. Actually agent. Yeah, it's just vicious plugs every time. So this is tinfoil hat a little bit, but I want to know if you guys have thought about this. So you remember when COVID came out and they were putting CDC tags on anything that said vaccine, coronavirus, whatever. So we know that they can read the posts. And I'm finding that my posts that have trigger words in them, whether it's from the reels, you know, you auto add the caption and you're saying real estate housing buyer in it, or even on the post itself when it says real estate or realtor. Like, I never used to use the word realtor because I was scared of getting hit with a lawsuit.
Yeah.
But my posts where I use the word realtor get way more reach outside my following. And they're not in the caption. It's literally on the post. Mm. I think they read the pictures.
Definitely. And I think that also has something to do with the bots too. Even though they're going after hashtags or industry related accounts, if you use like a finance or a real estate or, you know, crypto or something like that in your actual posts, I think there's more bots from that too. So I agree. And they definitely have that software because they have a software that recognizes if content's been produced twice. So if you are reposting someone else's content, you don't change it up a little. That's why, like, if I'm even reposting my own meme from one, like 3 or 4 years ago, I still change up the caption a little bit because then Instagram doesn't think it's repeat content. So if they have a software that does that, they definitely have a software that can recognize the text in it for sure. So
wouldn't,
makes
wouldn't it
sense.
Be great if they just told us, just tell us, man.
Yeah.
None of this. You would kill the Instagram coaching industry in one fell swoop and help out everybody who actually cares.
That Adam Mosseri, the Instagram CEO, he's a great follow. He at least is relatively transparent about stuff and he'll say like, "Hey, these are some new updates." And every time
he
opens his mouth,
it
drives me
insane. About him,
yeah.
At that event on your Discord, you told me to give him a follow and I watch him and it just infuriates.
Oh, of course.
He seems like such a nice guy though.
Hey, you know, I just want to let you know we're still being conscious of static images. Like, no, you aren't.
Yeah.
No, you aren't.
Yeah, the one that pissed me off was he's like, should I shave my beard or keep the beard? I was like, dude, give me my fucking blue check. Do whatever you want.
Stop throttling my engagement and ruining
it's insane
my career.
Because like you guys are saying, they have like some program, they can read everything, they can see everything, but they can't somehow tell a fake account from a real account.
Yeah,
like it's so weird to me. It's like you got to clean that up or people are going to stop using your shit.
Their sole purpose of existing right now is to compete with TikTok and to try to like battle the fact that so many people are leaving the platform. So every move they make algorithmically and everything being video first and messaging, and they don't care about any of the other stuff.
It's
getting
not
people
even
verified,
video
bots,
first,
anything
though.
Like that.
It's not even video first. It's like low quality video first. Like, you know who I feel really bad for? Derek Gregory.
I was just going to say that.
And by the way, I don't say that like, oh, I pitied it. Derek's great. But he put so much work and production value into his videos.
Unreal production
and
value.
And then... And by the way, when I speak, I'm not denigrating anyone, but Jared Benson, who just came on the scene, a lot of his content's just repurposed from his TikTok. And he told me, we had a phone conversation. He's like, yeah, it'll take me like 5 minutes. I'll shoot like 3 videos. And meanwhile, like Derek's planning his week around filming a video that's really good. And the algorithm just doesn't seem to.
I was just talking about that today.
It.
Because I've done a lot of like high quality videos and they just, the ones in my car hit the most always.
Yeah.
They always get the most views.
That's what Dan too has been adjusting his content. We've talked about this before, Matt, but like he was doing a minute and a half long skits. He did like those Grinch videos and ones that were 2-3 minutes sometimes. And he'll send some to me. I'll be like, dude, you just got to make this 10 seconds, have a fat hook at the beginning. Otherwise, just no one's going to see it and you're almost wasting your time. But I think people do see Derek's videos and like appreciate them, even though they're not getting the views, like he still gets like a ton of shares and people like recognizing how incredible the videos are.
Oh, he's a local celebrity too. When I was down there in Fort Myers with him, he got recognized on the street.
Yeah.
I had never seen anything like it.
Right. He could grow his YouTube and stuff. Like there still is a place for long form video. It's just maybe not on Instagram or TikTok.
Yeah. He really took a turn with his quality for sure. This past,
that
like,
camera
maybe,
he has is ridiculous.
Well, that's even just his iPhone camera, but like that, like Stranger Things is like such good quality. Like the fact that that didn't like just fucking hit, especially the timing of it too.
Dude.
You know what it was? Is there was just like a 3 or 5 second like credit or something at the beginning. And
right.
if People you're not just, catching someone immediately,
they just
the
video's scroll.
Done because it's just a scroll first platform. All you want to do is flick. And if there's not some, you know, hot chick in your face or something like that, or someone with a, like a snappy hook, you're done. So yeah. it's like, that's the emphasis of every video beginning or should
gives
be.
Give me an idea for a reel right there, Eric.
What, you'll hot girl?
It. You'll know it when you see it.
Well, I've done that one for the record. Is hot girl and then.
Oh, so now I can't do it.
Exactly. Because
you did something similar.
I am
now
the only
I can't
one
do it.
Allowed to use a hot let girl as the hook.
Let me say something to your credit, Eric. And I know mm-hmm. we're coming up on an hour here. And you
yeah, what? And Ben, say something to my credit after. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Matt needs to be complimented. Otherwise, he's done.
Eric DMs me every once in a while. And he's like, is this your meme? You know, and it's something vaguely similar. And good on you, because I don't think once I had ever said, yeah, it's mine or blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, I would never. I just post it.
Eric is very, very,
he's
very,
very credit yeah. conscious. So kudos
sure.
to you, bro.
Well, thank you. Thank
you're
you.
You're a dying breed.
Well, it's important for the brand building aspect of it, too, because I think if people see that it's other people's content, they'll get like pissed off, but realistically no one actually even notices or cares. So sometimes I'll even like go deep on other people's pages and be like, okay, was this yours? Is this yours? And then I realize like, this is mine from the past that, you know, it's just like, it's all like a circle of
stealing
hell.
Your own meme.
Yeah. I'm literally stealing it. I'll literally steal my own memes and feel guilty about it. So
it goes through, you know, it gets posted by you. Some real estate agent rips it off.
Yeah.
They tag me in it. I rip it off. Suddenly me and you aren't talking to each other. Nobody knows why. There's
exactly.
talks about a boxing match.
Yeah.
And then I see it on Facebook.
Exactly. And then people DM us the same content too.
Yeah.
And then we don't know who to credit. Yeah. It happens all the time. Like now people are just like looping us in the same messages, which
yeah.
is fine, which
they
should.
They thought we were the same thing for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the same person.
Yeah, I know. And now you got to compliment Matt before we end.
Matt, you never give up.
Thank you.
Damn. Nothing about his videos.
Matt,
or...
I mean, Matt's probably the biggest winner on this stage here because he's built a name around only his name. And I miss those residential real estate commission checks. I really do sometimes. Every so often I wake up at night in a cold sweat and I'm like, man, I could really use 30 grand right now. So I think you've been a genius at the way that you grew your brand and linking up with Eric over here.
Thank you.
I just miss you a little bit. Seems like you've outgrown me. When not for nothing. Your boy put you on the map. Just like Eric put me on the map. I remember the meme he shared. I gained, you know, 1,200 followers from it or something like that. So,
yeah, the shut the front door video you saw.
Shut the front door. Yeah. It's fantastic.
We've come a long way. And so, I said I was going to go on Ellen DeGeneres from that video. And you said, no, you aren't.
you were just a young, bushy eyed kid with dreams of grandeur, and you didn't know how Instagram reach worked.
Exactly. Had no clue.
You're going to go on Ellen DeGeneres one day.
Thank you. Well, the show's canceled.
Or just Inman News.
Oh, is it?
Inman, yeah.
The Inman stage.
Yeah. Do I need to vote for you guys for the Inman
Award
or something?
No, there's no voting. It's all internally, I guess.
No, we had a call. We had a call.
You've been in bed with Inman for years.
Me?
Yeah.
I certainly have not been in bed with Inman. Hey, I've been out of bed with Inman.
I mean, you're speaking at their conferences.
I spoke at their conference in 2016, and then
they never
was an ambassador, and then they literally never contacted me again for 5 years. Now, you know, now that Overask is out, I guess they're back. But
definitely not
been in bed with them. But we love
them.
Right.
Well,
all right, Luca.
This was good, man.
Thank you for joining us. Where, besides your Instagram, should we direct people's attention? Should they follow your Discord, join your Discord? Where else?
I mean, honestly, all things come from the Instagram. So if you're closing 50 plus deals a year, send me a message on Instagram that just says the word leads. And if you want free referrals and to attend our masterminds, and we have a new shit, I'm leaving this to the end. I have a new event coming to the Discord called Deal Flow Live, where we're just creating a forum for people to trade big commercial deals and off-market properties. So really, just join the Discord. All the links are in my Instagram bio. Thank you.
Amazing. Well, there you have it. Luca, thanks so much for being on.
Matthew, thank you for having me.
Is your name Lucas or Luca? Just drop the S to be cool.
Luca. Yeah,
but all the Spanish Matt, you always have a weird thing with names. Every time Matt and I have a guest on, like the first like 30 seconds, they're like, is your name Stanley? Is it Stan?
or is it Stanley?
This is straight out of Grant Cardone's playbook. To assert dominance, you have to wheedle things that people can't control to really bring their insecurities.
I don't think Matt's that calculated.
I think I am. Remember that time, Eric, when we first met, the first podcast we ever had? I said, is it Eric Simon or Simon?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, you said the same thing to Sir Hant, too.
Yeah.
Sir Hant.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, but it's good they did that movie on you, that Disney movie.
On me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was horrible. Horrible.
Oh, was it? Oh, right.
For years.
Have you heard of
years.
That, Eric? Luca? Have you
heard that movie Luca? For years and years, that was a unique name.
Yeah, and now that's going to come up.
Do you know how many 20-somethings who are with child watch that video and they're like, Luca, that's a nice name.
And you got Luka Doncic right now also. Slightly different spelling. But
does roll off the tongue quite nice.
Yeah.
Luca.
Yeah, it is a nice name.
Yeah.
All right, if you are watching this still, throw us a like, a comment, and subscribe to the
channel. Smash
that
subscribe button.
Yes.
Smash. Don't hit the like button.
All right.
Let's get the fuck off this.
Luca's probably...